This may be a wild and woolly talk. I know where it's going to end. I know where it's going to begin. I just don't know how it's going to get. It's moving in the direction of doing some metta practice, some loving kindness practice in the traditional sense. But I want to give us a feeling of the larger context of loving kindness, which, you know, we've been using this term compassion, wisdom, and compassion, and compassion really, we're using it in two senses or two scopes of the word. The smaller scope, which is still plenty large, has to do with a quality of love in the presence of suffering. So we've talked about compassion in the context of recognizing our limitations in as practitioners and being gentle with ourselves. And that's a very important topic. We also use the term in the larger sense to, I think, refer to the entire package of open-heartedness. And that's, you know, when we talk about balancing wisdom with compassion, we're really speaking of all of the kinds of manifestations of open-heartedness. And that really is encapsulated in a Pali term called the Brahma-Viharas, which is translated as the divine abodes, or the dwelling places of the gods. It refers to a set of four mind states which are presented as different from each other, unified in the sense of all having a quality of love and acceptance to them, but they're presented as different. And what I want to try to do is suggest to you that I think there's an underlying unity to them, which I believe is valuable to develop an appreciation for. And the way I want to impart that is to talk to you about quantum mechanics. So that's why I'm saying a little wild and woolly. If you remember back to your, I think even high school physics, when we talk about light, you'll remember there is this paradox in science where if we develop, well, the question is, what is light? You know, and the typical way we ask that is we say, is it a particle or is it a wave? And what scientists have done is they have developed receptor schemes that essentially ask the question, are you a wave? Or they ask the question, are you a particle? You can't be both at the same time, and you have to ask, you devise mechanisms which basically will say yes to one side of the question or another. And what they discover is that if you ask the question of light, are you a particle, the answer will be yes, I am a particle. And if instead you ask the question, are you a wave, the answer is yes, I am a wave. Now, what's interesting about that is that the light to whom we are asking the question could have been moving across the universe from the very beginning of the Big Bang, which means that that light was in some indeterminate state of being neither particle nor wave for 13.7 billion years in the case of light coming from the origin of the universe. So for 13.7 billion years, it was neither one nor the other. But when we ask the question, are you this? It'll say yes. Now that's really interesting because we're asking a question that says, are you this or are you that? But for 13.7 years, it's been something else. Which, you know, and I drag you through that in order to suggest that this quality of love or loving kindness, I describe it as manifestations of a vast and profound benevolent acceptance or loving acceptance of whatever is. Basically, while it's in transit, you can describe it as equanimity. it's perfectly okay with the whole universe, and it's undefined, and it's not taking sides in any way. When it encounters something analogous to a detector that says, are you a particle or a wave, when it comes into a being, it has a manifestation that basically says, yes, my nature is this. And then the nature that it says yes about is responsive to the qualities of what it's encountering, what it's coming into contact with. So when this quality of benevolent acceptance comes in contact with a neutral average object, and you'll understand what I mean by that in a minute, it expresses itself as loving kindness. When it encounters a being or an entity that is suffering, it expresses itself as compassion, because that's what that kind of benevolent, loving attention, loving acceptance would naturally do when it encounters that set of circumstances. When it encounters a being which is at an instant in time experiencing some success or triumph, it expresses itself as what we call sympathetic joy. But it's all the same energy. And what that means is there's a kind of cosmic quality to it which is very transcendent, and I find very refreshing and, you know, kind of mind-blowing and cosmic and all of that. It's very hard to describe because its very nature is indescribable until it comes into contact with something. And I think there's, for me, there's great value in having that sense of fluidity, of vast and profound benevolent acceptance. So those are some opening remarks. And we're going to focus now on metta, this sort of general loving kindness quality. But tomorrow we'll turn to the other three areas, the other three areas of talking about equanimity and talking about compassion and sympathetic joy more. But there is, in Buddhist practices, a whole set of trainings, the metta practices, which are designed to help us cultivate an open-hearted acceptance that's sensitive to that kind of energy and resonates in that benevolent, accepting way. So, one thing we can do here is to get a still another approach to the feel of what we mean by loving kindness. Let's talk about what we mean by love in common mundane terms, you know, in our society and the way we do it on the ground, so to speak. Mundane love tends to be centered on the self. It's something we seek. It perceives selected people or things as special, and sets one or some apart from others, good or bad, better or worse. It's rooted in craving and clinging, in that when we find something lovable, we seek to possess it, control it, dominate it, immobilize it, and enslave it. Why wouldn't you? You love it. Joy is derived from possession and control. Now, obviously, I'm taking it to a sort of ugly extreme, but work with me. It has a story about past and an agenda for the future. Even now is a temporal or time-specific object where we say, I'm so happy with you, I wish this moment could last forever, and I want you to stay the same forever, you know, to our loved person. Because happiness is experienced as contingent on holding on to the story and fulfilling the agenda, the person's life space narrows down, becoming a channel connected to yourself, to the other loved person, and excluding the rest of experience. So we have songs like, I only have eyes for you, you are my life, I'm nothing without you. And it moves out to, I'd rather die than live without you. And at its more extreme, at its most extreme, I'd rather kill you than have you lived without me. Which, unfortunately, people do. And behind it is an economics, a sense of economics of resources being limited. There is only so much love in that model. So it can't be given freely, even to the beloved person. There's a limit to what I can give, and I need to be sure that I'll be getting something valuable back in return, either the same thing or something I hold to be equivalent in value, if possible, even more valuable. Okay. So all of those are not metta. Okay. So, flip it around. Metta is not centered on or construed as being about the self. The uniqueness of people and things is recognized, but not in the interest of judging or setting apart. There's no concern for making one person better at the expense of others. It's based on an open-hearted acceptance, not a desire to possess, manipulate, control, or freeze. Joy is derived from presence, not control. So you have this feeling of, it's an honor just to be here. That would be a metta-based kind of expression of joy, or it's an honor to be with you. Not that I want you to do anything special, I'm just happy to be here. There's no story or agenda. Happiness is not contingent on things staying the way they are or turning out a certain way. Impermanence is understood and honored. Loving kindness recognizes the beloved is changing, even in each instant. In this sense, we not only love what is, we love whatever may come to be. Even when it means the beloved moving on. That which is not possessed cannot be lost. Not coming from the self, love is a reality present all around us. Body and mind can become exhausted, but loving kindness can't. It's there waiting for us to tune ourselves into it, like a radio receiver that we just, you know, the signals are there, we just have to tune to it and see it everywhere and in everyone. There is no economics to it any more than there is economics to sharing air with each other. Our effluent that we breathe out nurtures plants. Their effluent nurtures us. We breathe out carbon dioxide. To them, that's equivalent to our oxygen. Their poisonous outflow is oxygen, which we thrive on. So it's that kind of economy. It's the economy of mutuality, indifference. Another way to understand metta is to look at the Metta Sutta, which is the Buddha's teachings on it. And I've got a not the entire sutra that I want to share with you, but a piece of it which shares, which communicates an aspect of universality and radiance, by which I mean a kind of omnidirectional aspect, which gets us back into that cosmic stuff I was talking about. So here's a good chunk of the Metta Sutta. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, the medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upward to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. How do you train someone in that? There's a training for it. It's smaller than what we're trying to train, in the same sense that when you train someone to play music, you teach them scales at the beginning. And it's very important to do that, but playing scales is different than having music flow through you, which is, you know, when you really know how to play music, it's not something you're doing, it's something that's flowing through you. But we have to begin somewhere. And we begin with a practice which does two things. First of all, it reminds us of the different aspects that loving kindness reaches out to us with in a loving, supportive way. So we talk about the need of all beings, including ourselves, to feel safe and protected. We talk about the desire to be peaceful and content and happy. We talk about the desire to be healthy and have a sense of well-being. So spiritual and physical health, and a generic sense of ease and well-being. So we touch on these aspects as a way of training ourselves to recognize the different aspects of need within us and the different aspects of loving acceptance which are out there and which can be felt. And then the other aspect of the training is that not only do we learn to feel this on behalf of ourselves, but we get to experience that quality of radiance by sharing it with others. And we share it as a training experience with different categories of others. So we do it, we direct it as if it can be directed, even though it's flowing in all directions, but we experiment with visualizing it as being directed to us. And then next, in the standard method of teaching it, we find a person who we feel it very comfortable and easy to feel lovingly towards. So we find a person who's been a benevolent, someone who's done something very kind and loving toward us. We do it toward a friend. We do it toward a neutral person, a person who has no particular meaning to us, and yet who's another being on this planet. So, you know, in the spirit of radiance, why would you exclude that quality of interconnected well-being from that person? So we find people like the checkout person at the supermarket, if they still pumped gas, the gas station attendant, you know, just people who we encounter and who we don't really get to know, and yet there's a person in there. We do it with people who we find to be difficult, because they're operating with the same set of needs as anyone else. And then we do it, lastly, in the sense of trying to send it out to all beings simultaneously. So it's a training designed to say, I can feel this for myself. I can have a sense of connection with this person here. I can have a sense of connection with this person here, with this person here, this person here. It acknowledges the fact that the mind holds only one object in awareness at a time, so you can only think of one person at a time. But as a training, it says, if I can go here, 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 and here with it, maybe what's really going on is bigger than what my mind holds. My mind only holds one object, but what's really happening is this is a radiant energy, that it's actually going out in all directions. The limitation of my mind only allows me to see the connection that I have with one person at a time, but the connection is really there everywhere. And that's the purpose of the training. So with that being said, I'd like us to do that. Oh, there's one other thing I want to say. I mentioned a standard list of issues. May I feel safe and protected, peaceful and happy. I've written these out, and they're available to you. And I've actually written out two sets. One of them I call the standard, and the other, which is extended. And what you're going to find as we do this is that just as hindrances arise when you're doing meditation practice, concentration practice, there are resistance experiences that you may have doing metta. And you can discover that there are people that you can visualize who you don't feel lovingly toward and don't want to feel lovingly toward at this point in time. You can also discover that there are loving qualities that do not flow freely through you or to you. I know when I first started doing this practice, the extended forms finished up by saying, "May I be happy." And for me, that sense of happiness was kind of a dead zone at that time. When I thought that energy, you know, sort of hit me and went plop, just went nowhere. You may find that with any of these. You may find it with the sense of protectedness or the sense of physical health or spiritual health or something like that. You may have an area where you're just not open yet to receive that quality of loving energy. That's something we can learn from. You know, when I discovered that happiness was a dead zone for me, I made a note of that and said, maybe I need to just put it out there that I want to be more open to recognizing happiness and joy in my life. And over time, that openness occurred. So, about these extended phrases, one of them, this is from Jack Kornfield, I picked it up from his book, A Path with Heart. He begins his metta practice with the expression, "May I be filled with loving kindness." Now, I found that a very powerful expression for me, because I had been raised in a sort of semi-toxic environment in which I had been told that I was not a trustworthy person, you know, that I was, you know, people get given messages. So the message may be that, you know, at your core, you're selfish, or at your core, you're greedy, or at your core, you're not trustworthy. So I had these thoughts inside about my unworthiness. And what I did with this idea, may I be filled with loving kindness, was I visualized myself as kind of a vessel. So I did a visualization exercise with it. And I pictured loving kindness being poured into me. And you know how with salad dressing, I guess it's water is denser than oil. And as you know, if you've got an oil vinegar mix, you pour the water in and the oil gets displaced. And I guess if you kept pouring it in, all the oil would spill out the top. Well, that's what I did with this. I experienced the idea of loving kindness filling me and completely displacing all of the ugliness that I felt was in me at the time. So it's just like, if I was filled with loving kindness, there'd be no room for ugliness. So that's a kind of visualization which I found helpful. Now, I mention that not because you should know that I used to feel ugly inside, but because I want you over time to feel free with identifying your own issues and writing your own extensions to these metaphrases. If you get into this practice, what you'll find is that it's a way of tuning yourself, of finding what you're open to in the way of thoughts of well-being and love coming to you, and also what kind of love you're comfortable sending out. And you can tune this to yourself. When there's an expression, "May I be safe and protected from harm." I added to that, as an antidote to some of the messages I'd heard, "May I bring no harm to any other being," because I'd been told I could be nasty and harmful. So for me, it was important, you know, the issue of safety and protection wasn't just for me, it was from me. I wanted to feel safe on behalf of other people. So I wrote that into my metaphrases. And you can do whatever need you identify for you, by all means, feel free to play with these and, you know, try things out. Write something down. If it doesn't work, take it out. Try something else. So, okay. So I've got these handouts which have the standard and the extended metas, which work for me. Feel free to create your own. Okay, let me see what time it is and have a sense of... we're going till 3:15 or so. Okay, so what I'd like to move into now is a guided meditation practice.
And you can go past 3:15.
Okay.
Because we've got, I think we have 45 minutes for the next piece.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you might want to get into a meditation type of posture. And the way this works is I will read these phrases, a progression of phrases, a couple times slowly, and invite you to allow them to resonate in your mind. You could repeat them after me, or you can just allow whatever feelings or sensations arise in response to them to flow freely, noting what feels good and what doesn't feel good. As I mentioned, you might find that some resistance that arises, and that's fine. We can be open-hearted and accepting of our resistance. And that way, it doesn't, you know, we're not layering reactivity on reactivity. So, let's begin. Let's begin by thinking of ourselves. So picture yourself and think on your behalf, may I be filled with loving kindness. How does that feel? Can you feel loving kindness flowing into you? May I be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May I bring no harm to any being. May I be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May I bring no harm to any being. May I be healthy and strong in body, in mind, and in spirit. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. I invite you now to turn your attention to a person who has been a benefactor in your life, someone who's been kind and generous to you, someone whose actions have changed your life for the better, someone who's been a blessing in your life. Visualize this person and open your heart. And visualize yourself sending these wishes in a very heartfelt way. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May your actions be completely non-harming. May you be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. Now I invite you to bring to mind a good friend, someone with whom you have perhaps a lot of history, a lot of give and take, good times and hard times. Open your heart to this person and visualize yourself sending heartfelt love expressed this way. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May your actions be completely free of harming. May you be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. I invite you now to bring to mind a person who you have only the slightest of acquaintances with, a person who's neutral to you, without, perhaps without much history of good times or bad, to someone with whom you encounter now and then, without knowing much about his or her life, but recognizing the personhood of this being. You can open your heart to this person. And visualize sending love in the following ways. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May your actions be completely free of harming. May you be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. And now I invite you to bring to mind a person with whom your contact has been difficult, someone with whom there's been conflict or disagreement, a degree of bad blood. This person, too, is a human being that wants the same things, has the same needs. So visualize opening your heart to this person and sending these thoughts to him or her. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May your actions be completely free of harming. May you be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. And finally, I invite you to open your heart so wide that no one object is held in your awareness, so wide that you're open and sending thoughts of loving kindness in all directions to all beings. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. May all beings be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May all beings' actions be free of harming intention. May all beings be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May all beings be peaceful and at ease. May all beings be happy. And may you include yourself in your consideration of all beings.